KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies, 3 degrees above zero, and we look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high of 28. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In state news, the impact of wind turbines on the state's energy production is well documented, and now an Iowa State University study is trying to determine the impact they may have on Iowa's crops. ISU Distinguished Professor of Agronomy Gene Tockley set out to find out if the relatively new giant rotating blades made an impact on a variety of conditions in nearby fields.
Differences in meteorological, micrometeorological conditions, differences in temperature, wind speed, wind direction, humidity, carbon dioxide levels. These are some of the things that we measure upwind and downwind of turbines. And the simple answer is yes, we can measure some differences.
While the early research shows some changes, Tockley says it's only a small part of the research right now.
The more complicated question of whether these have an impact on biomass production, plant size or plant yield, those are more difficult, and we haven't found anything out about those yet.
Tockley says they set up a tower to measure the changes in the air over the fields.
We found that in general, the landscape behind the turbines or downwind of the turbines is slightly warmer at night and slightly cooler during the day. And the amount of that is maybe a 1 degree warming at night and maybe a half a degree Celsius cooling during the day. So it isn't a large effect.
One result of the changes, he says, could be less dew forming on the plants.
Which would be generally a good thing because dew promotes growth of fungus and mold and some other pathogens that crops generally are unfavorably affected by.
Tockley says they found the turbines slowed the wind over the fields.
And this, in meteorological terms, that leads to a surface convergence, that is, air kind of flows into the wind farm, and that means that by laws of physics that there must be an upward motion over the wind farm. And so the question there is, it could have significance in that it could affect fog or cloudiness or potentially even rainfall if it's on a large enough scale.
Tockley said the research was done behind a couple of rows of turbines.
We have not gone to look at the size, a regional scale, say, of 150 or 200 turbines, the impact that might have. But that is a very interesting question, one that we're pursuing because it could have some significance.
He says it's going to be much harder to find those answers because all the other factors at play in a field, such as variations in soil quality or precipitation. It was announced earlier this year that from July of 2015 through July of 2016, 35.8% of Iowa's electricity was generated by wind. Police in Creston arrested three people on separate charges over the past few days. At around 8:30 p.m. Sunday, 23-year-old Jordan Hibbs of Creston was arrested for public intoxication. Hibbs was later released from custody on a promise to appear in court. Saturday afternoon, Creston police arrested 23-year-old Jamie Michael of Creston for fifth-degree theft. She was also released from the Union County Jail on a promise to appear in court. And Friday afternoon, 38-year-old James Smizer of Creston was arrested at the Union County Jail on a charge of simple domestic assault. He was later released on a $300 bond. Members of the City of Atlantic's Parks and Recreation Department Board of Directors will hold their regular monthly meeting this evening at City Hall, beginning at 5:15. During their session, the board will receive update from Parks and Rec Director Seth Stasselm with regard to the Sunnyside Pool Steering Committee and Enhance Iowa grant application, the Schulberg Rec Area Campground and Sunnyside Park Ice Rink. Stasselm is also expected to report Sunnyside Park streets are closed for the season and that shelter house reservations for 2017 will be accepted beginning January 1st. Several area school district Board of Education meetings are set to take place this evening and tonight. First up at 5 p.m. is the Audubon School Board meeting at the high school, and during their session, the board will act on a school budget review committee request for at-risk dropout prevention, a policy review committee recommendation, the first reading of a board policy regarding testing, an early retirement plan option, and the approval of a city transfer of a baseball field. The Audubon School Board will also award diplomas to foreign exchange students. The Griswold School Board meeting gets underway at 5:30 at the Middle School High School building, during which they'll act on locker room and intercom repair, the purchase of a van, a possible conference change, various board policies, special education contracts, and more. They'll also discuss information from the Facilities Committee. Members of the Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton School Board will gather in the Elkhorn Building Conference Room beginning at 6 p.m. with a work session. And during that work session, they'll discuss but take no action on building alignment and budget reviews. And during the regular session at 7 p.m., the Exira EHK Board will discuss and possibly act on approving a board resolution in support of the Promise of Iowa public education campaign, the offering of early retirement, an at-risk dropout prevention application, and on approving Joe Rasmussen as secondary lawyer for property and local issues. The board will also hold discussion with regard to negotiations team, facility assessment, and bond refinance options. And the CAM School Board meeting will begin at 6:30 p.m. at the High School Media Center. Discussion and or action items on their agenda include the presentation on pre-final plans and specifications for the Messina School Addition, approval of additional services from CTS amounting to $24,000 for soil borings at the Messina School Building, discussion with regard to the greenhouse project, early retirement option, a trip to Washington, D.C., and approval of out-of-state travel for after prom and other matters. President Barack Obama has signed into law a measure that will allow for a public-private partnership to build a $136 million veterans medical facility in Omaha. Nebraska Democratic Congressman Brad Ashford said the measure was signed Friday. Ashford pushed the bill through the U.S. House. U.S. Senator Deb Fischer, a Nebraska Republican, sponsored it in the Senate. Under the measure, the Department of Veterans Affairs will provide $56 million to build 157,000 square feet of a new medical space next to the current aging and outdated VA hospital in Omaha. Private donors will put up the remaining $80 million. Ashford told the Omaha World-Herald that officials hope the facility will be completed in 2018. A broken elevator that left some elderly residents stranded in a Lamar's apartment building for months is back in operation. Lamar's Fire Chief David Shipper says that the elevator at the Floyd Valley Apartments was certified by a state inspector on Friday. It first went out of service in August. The delay in repairing the elevator was due to problems getting special parts for it shipped from Pennsylvania. One part was dropped down the elevator shaft and broke a couple of weeks ago, slowing the repair process even more. Many residents in the five-floor complex were not able to use the stairs and had to rely on friends, family, and even the building manager to get groceries, do laundry, and retrieve mail. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.